There's so many things in this passage of scripture from Mark, in this story. We call it the Transfiguration, the story of where Jesus suddenly shone with divine light in front of these three disciples. I want to focus on one very specific part of this whole story, and that's the words that came from that cloud, the words of God that were spoken over Jesus. There's a parallel in here. When Jesus was baptized and he was coming up out of the water, the voice from heaven said, "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." But in Mark's gospel, the words of the baptism were directed very much towards Jesus. Instead of it saying, "This is my son, the beloved," it was, "You are my son, the beloved. In you I am well pleased." This time around, when we have this transfiguration, these words are spoken not just for Jesus, but for the disciples who were there, who were witnessing. It's like this thing has happened, and God himself speaks out of the heavens to help them understand, to help them frame it. "This is my son. Jesus is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Now, as with all things in scripture, the words were not just intended for James and John and Peter. These words are for us as well. It's like God is speaking to us in the same way he did them, maybe not out loud from a cloud in the sky, but, "This is my son. Jesus is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Now, it's one thing for James and John and Peter to listen to Jesus. He was there in the flesh with them. He was talking out loud. They could see his lips move. They could see his body language. And that all raises the question for me, but what about us? How is it possible for us to listen to him as well? Because he's not here in the flesh. We can't see his body language. We can't see his lips moving as he speaks to us. But one of the basic tenets of Christianity is believing that Jesus does in fact still speak to us. That Jesus, who is referred to as the Word of God, who is the Son of God, who was in the beginning with God, who was in fact God, continues to speak. We talk about the Holy Spirit as being that person of God through whom that Jesus uses to speak to us. All are one and the same, and I don't want us to get confused and caught up in the complexity of the idea that we have a Trinitarian God, a God who is both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all somehow at the same time. The point here is that Jesus spoke and Jesus continues to speak. So how on earth do we hear him? How do we listen to him? This is part of what it means to be a Christian is that we are listening for Jesus, that he is continuing to teach us, that he is continuing to transform us to be more and more and more like him. To hear him, we have to listen. So how do we do that? I want to focus on a few things that we do to hear Jesus, to really listen. And the first thing, perhaps most obvious as an answer to that question, would be we hear him through scripture, especially in the Gospels. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the books referred to as the Gospels. We have actual things that Jesus taught, actual things that Jesus said and did. And so it makes sense logically that we would go to the Gospels to listen to Jesus, that just as he taught and he spoke in the first century, so those same things are still relevant for us. And so we go to the Gospels and we see his life, we read about his life, we listen to the stories that are told, we listen to his teachings, and in that we hear Jesus speaking to us today. See, if Jesus truly is the Son of God, who was with God in the beginning and who is in fact God, like John's gospel tells us, then does it not make sense that he speaks to us through scripture, through all scripture? In 2 Timothy 16, the Apostle Paul tells us that all scripture is God-breathed. We often use the word inspired. The literal translation of the word is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. It's not as simplistic as thinking that God was sitting in heaven and dictated to somebody who had a pen who just wrote things down. It's more nuanced than that. It's more all-encompassing than that. It's like everything that comes out of God as he breathes out life is encapsulated in what scripture is. We read scripture. We hear scripture read. We sing scripture. The Psalms themselves, most of those Psalms were probably put to music. They were probably heard that way. If you are connected to the Taze community, a lot of those songs are just scripture put to music. But it's the words of scripture. How do we hear from scripture? We pay attention to the content. Yes, the actual, like, what is it that Jesus actually said? We pay attention to the content for our learning, for guidance, and how we're supposed to live our lives. We allow it to live inside of ourselves as well, that we think of scripture not just as being words on a page, not just interesting content for knowledge. It is that, but it is more than that. It is the living breath of God itself, somehow put into words, somehow put, yes, on the page, but also in the air around us. It carries the Holy Spirit himself. And so the scripture can live in us, where it can start to transform us. This is what the idea of meditating on scripture is about, that you take a word or a phrase from scripture and you repeat it over and over and over again. Perhaps you breathe in with one word or phrase and you breathe out with another. So you breathe in, and as you breathe in, you repeat the words, "Wait for the Lord." And as you breathe out, "Our Lord is God," or whatever words from scripture work. A few weeks ago when we had our congregational meeting and Heather was talking about this idea of listening prayer, she suggested using the Lord's Prayer as a sample, that maybe you breathe in and out the words of the Lord's Prayer, and you repeat it over and over. And as you do that, the scripture takes up residence inside of ourselves. One of the reasons we memorize scripture is so that it can live in us, not just in our head as something content-wise that we knew, but it actually becomes alive in us. We have to beware, when we're reading scripture or we're hearing it read, of our various preconceptions and assumptions. So the reality is that none of us read scripture purely objectively. We can't do that, because intimately interwoven into who we are our own experiences, our own understandings, our own worldview, our own study and knowledge. All of those things are wrapped up into it. And so it's really important that we, when we're reading scripture, whether we're singing the words, meditating on them, reading them, hearing them read, you don't have to be literate to be able to have scripture pour over you, to be able to have scripture be used by God, by Jesus, to speak to us. There's lots of, especially if you have availability of online, there's lots of recorded scripture that you can listen to. Some of it is recorded with better voices than others, but it's so important that we read scripture, that we understand it, that really everything that we listen to is done within the context of the larger community of faith. And I'm going to come back to that. There's a, somebody said, and if you want to know the actual quote, the reference, I can give that to you later, just as an example of how we have preconceptions and assumptions. The quote is this: "White Christianity suffers from a bad case of Disney princess theology. As each individual reads scripture, they see themselves as the princess in the story, or the prince charming in the story. They are Esther, never Xerxes or Haman. They are Peter, but never Judas. They are the woman anointing Jesus, never the Pharisees." We have to be aware of where we position ourselves in scripture. And on the Padlet page that I showed you for the listening to God, Dennis has added something there about his reflections on listening and how we listen through scripture. And quoting Dennis, he doesn't know I'm going to do this. Hopefully that's okay. But on there, he wrote, "Usually I take one sentence or just a phrase from a passage I have just read out loud and chew on it. I don't deconstruct it. I deconstruct myself, my behavior, my history." It's that as we're reading scripture, we're not just staying at the 1,000-foot view where we're studying it because it's interesting. We're studying it because it has knowledge to give us, but it actually has the power to shape us, to transform us, to change us from within if we let it, and if we are honest and open-handed about the fact that we come to it with preconceptions and with assumptions. And God works with those too. God speaks into that. And so scripture is one of the primary ways, potentially even the primary way that God speaks to us. So if we're going to be listening to scripture, listening for Jesus, we need to be spending time in scripture. And if you need some help, some suggestions on what scripture you might focus on, where you might look, how you might get started, let me know. I would love to help you with that. Another way that we listen to Jesus is through music. The poet Longfellow identified that music is a universal language. There's a Harvard study that was done to try and figure out if music really is a universal language. And they observed 315 total different societies and discovered that music appears in every one of those societies observed. They also then pulled music out from, I think, about 80 something of those societies, and they compared and contrast different things. And one of the things that they found was that lullabies across all of those different societies have similar musical senses to them. That music that is about conveying different things, dance music, similar kind of things across cultures, that music truly is universal. But not just that, music is especially powerful when words just aren't enough. There's a point in the Apostle Paul's writing when he talks about how the Holy Spirit sometimes intercedes on our behalf with groans that because we don't have words for what we need to communicate to God. Sometimes words are limited, language is limited. And music steps into that. Whether the music has words or to it or not, there is something about the power of music that expresses things and that can speak to us, that can help us get into a place where we can hear from God. And so now, not all of us are wired to have a great appreciation for music, and that's okay. One of the things that I love about when we talk about listening to God is there isn't just one way to do it, because God, who made us different from each other, God who made us so diverse, some of us who love words, some of us who hate words and love music, some of us who are dancers or visual type people or conversationalists, whatever it is, God speaks to us in the language that he has created in us. And so maybe it's by reading scripture, by sitting there with a commentary and really studying what the scripture passage says. Maybe it's sitting there more contemplatively and meditating on a particular psalm or verse or even phrase from scripture. Maybe it's listening to music that draws you out, that pulls you in, and you find yourself able to hear God in the music. Maybe it's visual. You know, pre-1400s, that's when the printing press was invented in the Western world. Pre-1400s, the way that people learned the stories of the Bible, the way that they learned what scripture wasn't from reading it for themselves. It wasn't possible to have enough copies of the Bible for everybody to have one or more than one and read it. And so the churches were built with these extraordinary paintings, mosaics and paintings and murals, stained glass windows all over the place, all of which told the stories of the Bible, all of which communicated the theology of Christianity to its people. Some of us are so wired visually that everywhere we look, it's the visual. We can sit down and we can find ourselves sucked into a painting and stay there for maybe hours because it communicates something the more we sit into it. Henry Nouwen, who's a great modern day saint of the church, Henry Nouwen wrote an entire book as he sat sitting, staring at Rembrandt's painting of the prodigal. And he wrote a book out of what he did. He spent days just sitting there. He was so pulled into the visual representation of this story. Art, like music, has the power to draw us in. Great art asks us to engage or to participate in it, much like we would engage or participate in scripture. And it's not just art that is like an illustration of a story or a teaching or something in the Bible. It can be more abstract than that. Just it's about using the visual senses to really listen and hear what it is that God has to say, because sometimes God speaks in words and sometimes God speaks in images and pictures and color and shape and all of those things. Another way that we can listen to God is through writing or through journaling. For myself, I find that journaling can sometimes be a really profound way to hear from God. Often what happens is it usually happens when I'm really stuck with something, or I'm angry about something, or I'm struggling with something, or I'm suffering in myself or on behalf of somebody else. And I sit down with a pen and paper because that's how God has wired me. And I in my journaling, what I often do is I start by ranting. I express my anger or my suffering or my questions, and I write. And then the writing changes. And I realize that what I'm writing is the conversation that I'm having with God, that I'm writing, and then I'm responding to what God is doing inside of me. And it's as if God himself and I are having this conversation in my journal. I'm not saying that he magically takes the pen and writes the responses or anything like that, but that as I'm putting it out on paper, I'm able to hear God respond to what it is that I'm saying, to what it is that I'm struggling with. And so that's one of the ways that I listen to God. There are people who have dreams and are granted visions of what God is. Sometimes our conscious minds are so busy and so noisy that God could be shouting at us and we can't hear because we're so preoccupied with everything going on in our current present reality. And sometimes it takes us to fall asleep for God's voice to finally be heard. Now, how do you know if it was just a dream or if it was a dream sent by God? That's a big question. It's a big question for all of these things. How do I know that it was God and not just me and my preconceptions and my assumptions that were speaking? My undergraduate degree is in psychology. And one of the things that undergraduate degree did was made me an expert at rationalizing just about everything, at writing everything off as just being kind of a trick of the mind. And so I have been really good in my grown-up life at maybe hearing from God and then writing it off and going, well, but I really want this, or I really want this. I struggled with my call to ministry because I rationalized it as just, well, I'm about to graduate with an undergrad in psychology. There's nothing you can do with an undergraduate in psychology. So maybe God is calling me to ministry. Now, on further reflection, that's ridiculous. It doesn't make any logical sense that the leap is I'm afraid of unemployment, therefore I'll become a church pastor. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But it's one of the barriers that stands in the way of me hearing are my ability to rationalize things is all just tricks of the mind. And so how does any one of us know that what we're hearing from God, even when what we're hearing, sometimes it's just a really deep sense of knowing, like you feel it in your bones, something is true, something is from God. But how do we get around those filters? We do it in the context of Christian community. To be a Christian is not to live in isolation. To be a Christian is to be part of the spiritual community that is the church, the larger church, which is all the children of God all through the earth who have declared Jesus to be their Lord and decided that they are going to follow Jesus the way they live. But it's also the local context. The reason I think that, or one of the reasons we're placed in the local context of a local church, the one of the reasons that we are part of a church like Walmer, where we gather regularly, we get to know each other deeply and intimately, is because it's as the church community, as the body of Christ, that we have some protection against our own filters, our own preconceptions and assumptions. So as I'm hearing what I think I might be hearing from God, instead of me just declaring, I have had a word from the Lord and this is it for the rest of you, in kind of a Moses-esque kind of fashion where he comes down off the mountain, he declares it and they all say, great. God wants to speak to all of us within the context of community. And so I throw it out there and I say, hey, I think what I'm hearing or what I'm seeing or the dream I had or the song that keeps coming to mind or the piece of art I'm reflecting on or the word or whatever it might be, We put it out there into the context of community. And maybe other people are hearing or seeing or thinking things that are along the same kind of a line. And we start to see that there are threads and there are themes that are running through it. And rarely is it just what I had thought in the beginning, but it grows in its richness and its reality. And it becomes so much stronger and more powerful as the voices of our whole community come together. We aren't intended to discern the voice of God just on our own. We are intended to do it on our own. We are intended to hear from God as part of our own spiritual walk. But we need the community. We also need to be doing it within the context of community, taking what we are hearing in our own individual walks and taking it to the larger community. This is what we are doing intentionally as Walmer Row Baptist Church starting right now. When we ask all of us to be spending, say, 5 or 10 minutes, it's just a place to begin. It's a doable amount of time to say 5 or 10 minutes a few times a week. I am going to sit and I'm going to listen however I do that. And I may need to start with 5 minutes because that's as much as I can handle. I might hear nothing. I might see nothing. I might dream nothing. But we get into the discipline of taking this time. And then once a month, we come together and we bring everything that we have heard or we think we might have heard or every thought or feeling or whatever. And again, if you can access that Padlet form and put it up there so that other people can see it as well, we can start to see the threads and the themes that are running through it and truly know that we have heard from God. When Jesus was on that mountain and he was transfigured, he became this dazzling divine creature. Up until that moment, the disciples had seen him dusty and dirty and very real, very tangible around them. He was the fully human Jesus. And in that moment, in that shared vision they had on that mountaintop, they saw Jesus, the Son of God, the also fully divine. And Peter said something ridiculous. Oh, we need to mark this spot because that's the kind of thing that Peter does. But they recognized this incredible, extraordinary truth of who Jesus was, and they recognized it together. And in that moment, the instructions that were given to them by God himself, by a voice coming straight out of heaven itself, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." It's not a question of whether or not we really feel like listening to Jesus. That's an instruction from God himself given to those first three disciples and all of us who have ever followed. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? It means that we listen to him. We need to learn this. We need to get comfortable with this. We need to get to a place where we expect to hear from Jesus, and we always need to do it with humility, with recognizing that God speaks in the context of our larger community. And so as we go into this week, I invite you to look at your calendar, schedule in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 3 times a week when you're going to do this. When you sit down to do it, or you go for a walk, or however you do this, set a timer so that you're not thinking about what time is, and turn off all your buzzers and ringers and other things that might distract you in this time. Pick a spot where you can fully, maybe you're staring out a window, maybe there's something that, maybe you need to close your eyes, maybe you choose a meditation tool, maybe you listen to some music to help you get there, maybe you choose some scripture, maybe it's the Lord's Prayer that you're going to read a few different times, a few ways through, maybe you choose to read your scripture in a few different translations so that you're hearing it, or just in one translation, but not a translation you're used to. However you do it, whatever you do, maybe you just sit there, hands open, which is a great stance because it represents, it symbolizes that, hey, I'm open to hearing what you have to say, God. Maybe you just sit there or you stand there, and you go, "God, I've been told that you speak, so go ahead. I'm listening." It's like Samuel when he was a little boy and he heard God's voice in the temple and he said, "Speak, Lord, for I am listening." Maybe that's it. Maybe you just sit there and over again, you repeat, "Speak, Lord, for I am listening. Speak, Lord, for I am listening." And make sure you give yourself pauses so that you can actually listen.